deprive me of my right to my own property and seeking and obtaining happiness described in the New Hampshire Constitution. I'm 72 years old, and everything I own has been earned by hard physical labor spanning three generations. On the emotional side, my family fought in two world wars for the United States of America. I've got a lot of skin in the game here. To summarize my position, depriving me of my land and property and quality of life based on your ideology with no regard for the general population and no plan whatsoever is what I regard as an act of tyranny and an act of theft. Here's my specific situation. I'm self-employed and maintain my own 2-acre property and three buildings. As a matter of fact, today does mark 37 days in a row without a break, and I'm looking at least another month flat out with that month. This is hard labor, by the way. But at 72, obviously, I can't sustain the pace. My family has paid under Social Security since its inception. It has paid federal taxes to support health care as well. If New Hampshire severs its ties with the USA, I will lose the programs that allow me to age and die on my own land. This is the theft I just mentioned. Next, it would throw away all my hard work in the name of what? A narrow concept of freedom? That's a question. Let me ask you about passport. Freedom to travel is very important to me. I will be stuck here because we don't have a plan. There's a lot of noise going on. And no, the tiny Secretary of State's office alone cannot possibly cope with the logistics of Nexus. In general, the libertarian idea failed in the United States after 1776 and made it obvious that human nature means if we want to play football, we need referees. It's that simple. Civilization is important to me. A stable country is important to me just like it is to financial markets. I've asked libertarians to point out a success story based on their ideology and never get an answer. The original colonies couldn't stick to trade agreements. The honor system didn't work then, and it won't work now simply because, and this is important, humans more often than not act out of their own self-interest. That hasn't changed between colonial times and today. That's the constant factor here. And consider this, bedlam always leads to a power vacuum. That situation allows for the worst of us, often the most violent and ruthless of us, to grab power. From plutocrats to the Taliban, this isn't my idea of freedom. Let me address the notion that moderate center-left and progressives are simply collectivists with no individuality because of groupthink. And I'm referring to, I listened to some of your conversations. Here's a bit of my story. At 18, I dropped out of college, went ski bumming in Aspen, Colorado. I willingly lost my draft deferment, which was unconstitutional, the deferment. I rode my motorcycle across country a number of times then alone. In my 20s, I was a large pot distributor and smuggler. I counted a lot of cash as an act of defiance and pure capitalism. I also developed an IV heroin habit from which I recovered 25 years later. I'm a skier. I've climbed to the summit of Mount Washington alone in winter without another human being around for 3 hours. I can do that because I developed the skills and know-how to enjoy that very personal freedom. I'm a musician. I can entertain hundreds of people with just my guitar and voice and harmonica. I joined with free staters and libertarians in the legislative office building for a media event that publicly kicked off Matt Science Project to legitimize marijuana. I worked with Matt after that too. We even did music for a play together. I could go on, but I hope this dispels any notion about me personally. And by extension, I hope this exposes the lack of respect in calling anyone who disagrees with you a collectivist and a defender of DC. You want to secede from the United States of America, not the District of Columbia, and that's by definition. Real individuals spend their precious time creating personal freedoms to add to the freedoms guaranteed by the Constitution. Weak individuals waste their time bemoaning the minor sacrifices they have to make for the greater good. America is now hobbled because people have a perverted sense of freedom. That's my personal opinion, but it's well-founded. Let me tell you about the emotional, patriotic side of remaining part of the American experiment. I've had huge differences with the USA. Vietnam and drug policy topped the list. For instance, I couldn't get methadone for years from my doctor because it was highly restricted by fear-mongering GOP. A classmate and friend of mine, Sammy Margaritas, was killed in Vietnam. I resisted the draft, as I said. I was 18. That wasn't a helmet law. That wasn't a call to wear a mask or get a shot. That was life or death with constitutional and moral implications. But I've always held the basic ideas of the Founding Fathers in high regard. It's never been perfect, but without it, we wouldn't have any civilized life. Anarchy isn't civilization. Again, we tried it here. States didn't honor debts not after 1776. Nothing was stable and debts dependable enough to sustain business. So we've had that experiment. Brexit, too, is showing what happens when you make dramatic changes based on ideology instead of a plan. Trade with Germany is tanking. And where's the nationalistic magic in that? And hoping we all just move to Canada, as I heard someone say, too. That's a form of tyranny. It violates the spirit of the American experiment and the New Hampshire Constitution. I happen to love Montreal. My grandfather, my father's side, immigrated here from Quebec. But my love of Canada is cultural. It isn't political. It's rare to see bumper stickers in Montreal. The populace isn't as fragmented as we are. People are less selfish and aggressive towards one another. And yes, they have been locked down. But if you compare their COVID curve with ours, it means that business and commerce there is returning to normalcy. Well, Americans won't do what we did with polio and other horrible diseases because they have fetishized freedom. They also value the arts in Montreal and have time for culture because they aren't at each other's throats. Healthcare was settled 60 years ago. Imagine how much psychic energy we waste. I believe I could make a better living playing music. I make a better living playing music there than here. It's legal for me to do so. And it's to do so, and with no red tape at all, zero. But I have no intention of giving up my citizenship here. This is my home, and I try to do my part to make it a better place. So let me just finish with a few questions that I could ask a zillion, but I'll keep it a little short. What about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid? What about New Hampshire citizens on these programs? What about passports? What about trade? How will trade work? And on the logistical side, and lastly, how will New Hampshire manage this gargantuan task? You can't just say the Secretary of State's office is going to do it. That's a tiny little office. They with three or four people there, help them go garner. This is a gargantuan task. How many man hours have you estimated it would take for a smooth transition? Thank you for your time.
Can I go ahead? A 1 minute answer.
Are you asking me?
I guess I'm asking, I don't know, whoever the boss is.
There's no boss here.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I need like a 1 minute response. Awesome. Chaz, thanks for joining us. Thanks for being clear-minded and just reasonable about this. You have a lot of reservations and questions about this, as we all do. Sure. Firstly, I would say, yes, we've all trashed leftists and said they're all collectivist a-holes who should move to Canada. I'm probably guilty of that as much as anyone. You are not a typical leftist, and you're obviously not a collectivist. You have an individual mind, more so than I think most progressives. Clearly, you've been working hard your whole life and or also flouting government edicts and breaking laws, which is great, which makes you one of us in some ways. So definitely individual. So I'd give you that one. The big you mentioned that for some minor differences we'd want to leave the U.S. I've argued in all my books and articles it's not minor, it's some tremendous differences, but we'll get into that later. You seem to mention that your biggest issue is theft, which I don't understand. In fact, I would say it's the opposite. No one's stealing your property. What we're doing is strengthening your property rights and not taking property rights from you. If you said you have some land, you have some properties and assets right now, and I'm writing a book about it right now. Our property rights are diminishing every day, and most massive reasons why we have diminishing property rights is because of DC politicians. Once DC is cut out of the picture, your property rights are strengthened. And as far as theft, the theft also comes from DC in the form of tax. Right now, like 80% of my tax burden is the federal income tax, which is federal, which again, taxation being theft, they're stealing my money against my will. That goes away. Almost all taxes go away once we sever ties with DC. I wrote a few other notes here. I wrote a few books, especially one for progressives. So I want to give you that book. If you're in New Hampshire, I'll find you after this call. I'll get your info. I want to give you my book and see what you think. It's about why we should all support independence, especially progressives. I wanted to ask you how much you trust DC politicians.
But this is my point. I'm being very specific with me because I'm somebody I know, but a lot of New Hampshire citizens are in my boat. I'm dependent on Social Security. I get very little, but I need it. And Medicare. I won't be able to, at 72, I can't keep this base. What's going to happen to me? Are you going to pull the plug on those programs? Because I'm saying without those programs, I end up losing my land.
Yeah, my understanding is that, so that's what you mean by theft. Okay. My understanding is that people in other countries still receive Social Security. I think that was my understanding, but someone else here could probably confirm that.
Program.
Yes. If you live in a different country, you can still get Social Security.
I'm not talking about a different country. I'm talking about New Hampshire.
But it would be a different country.
It would be a different country. And in different countries, people still get Social Security.
Okay. I would have to check that out because this is a unique situation.
Well, I don't know about Medicare, to his other point. I don't think that would probably work in another country. So there, but I'm not a medical expert, so I have no...
But I mean, I think you have to concede that you're extrapolating here. Yeah, if you're an American expatriate, you're living in Switzerland, yes, you get your Social Security. This is not that situation. This points up how inchoate your ideas are. You haven't really thought that through. You just go, oh, if you live in another country.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say it's a strong point.
Well, we've thought about this quite a bit, and you're right that the federal government, once we leave, they can be bitter, and they can pass a law saying all those expats from New Hampshire get no Social Security. They can do that, and it's pretty likely.
And who gets hung out to dry?
Yeah. So here's the thing. You said you're a hard worker, and you work your butt off.
Me losing health care.
Yeah, so you work your butt off. You're probably paying $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year in federal income tax. What would your life look like if I gave you $20,000 a year back?
What? I don't need. Listen, you don't need to help me with my finances. I handle my.
No, I mean, if there's no income tax, you'd get to keep more of your money. I mean,
I'm 72. I don't pay $20,000 in income tax. What are you talking about? My mother just died at 97. She didn't work the last 45 years of her life, and therefore she didn't pay any income tax. You don't know how working people's lives are. Any people here in the trades? Do any of you work with unions?
I work.
You do.
We all work.
What?
We all work, and we all pay federal income tax.
Yes, all of us have jobs. Tax. None of us are hippie bums.
Good. I used to have hair to hear. I can't do it anymore.
Well, there's always Massachusetts.
You know,
so.
With all due respect, these easy answers, like, you know, this would be totally unique and new. No state, to my knowledge, has left the union. So we don't know. There's a lot of unknowns here. To simply say, well, if you live in overseas, you still get your Social Security. Well, all of a sudden, who knows? You know how that would be handled. That will have to. That one issue would be in the courts forever. It would be such a mess, and all of these issues. So
it seems to be like a serious concern for you to be able to get the Social Security. And I'm interested to know if you know of any countries on this planet where you, as a United States citizen, would not be able to still get your Social Security. I don't know if that's the case for any country.
I don't expect that because I don't know how that works, but I think you're probably right. If I moved, my Social Security would follow me around. But starting a new country within the United States of America, to just decide here, and I don't think we can argue this out because there's too many variables. There's a zillion variables going on here. You can't just say, don't worry about it. And I think somebody did concede that health care, I would be out, no health care. At 72, I'm healthy. But let me tell you, my mother just died at 97. She had Alzheimer's. I took care of her for 3 years.
Medicaid is run by the state. So New Hampshire Medicaid would still exist if these ties were separate from us.
It's financed federally. Medicare is for old people. That's what I get. That's a federal program. That's from LBJ. So that's a federal program. Some states don't even want to expand Medicare, you know, and generally red states and conservative states. So the idea that, oh, don't worry, this is no, I'm not buying it. I am protecting my rights to this land, and I'm not going to let it go without a fucking fight.
Yeah, well, no one's taking your land. Like I said, I'm reinforcing the property rights.
If I have no money, I can't eat. I can't run my vehicles. If I get sick and I have eye problems, you know, I'm 72. I've got
diabetes.
I ski. I still ski race. I ride motorcycles. I break a leg. Okay, can't afford that. You don't have Medicare anymore.
What happens when Medicare runs out of money?
That is how you lose your land. Maybe you don't know this. Most people lose their land through a medical condition in this country. So that's why I'm sticking with it.
I know all about medical bills, and I do hate them. Yeah.
Right, and you have them. This is why I'm saying this is theft. This is thievery. Yeah. Based on what – I don't know what we're going to gain by this, except that you get to this experiment with your ideology.
Well, did you look at my article with 76 good, solid reasons why we should want to leave D.C. politicians?
I think I told you. I've worked 37 days in a row. I got to go back to work as soon as I'm off of here, and I've got at least another month and a half with deadlines. So I don't have time. I would, generally.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of reasons why we feel like we're being abused, like by an abusive spouse. That's omnipowerful.
I faced the draft at 18. You know, that's abuse. I'm not very impressed with people that, you know, oh, we have to get a shot. During my lifetime, kids had polio. It scared the bejesus out of everybody. You go to a pool, you get polio. You can't go.
I wrote all these articles and books before the vaccine or mandate, and I don't think it's the biggest abuse ever. In fact, I got the vaccine. It's not the biggest deal. That's it's way down on my list, like number 70.
Right.
There are like 70 reasons better than that to succeed.
I was just soaring. We're never going to be able to trade, to do business, to open music clubs. I just started playing live again, but it's iffy because of the Delta, because people won't get their shot. And if I lived in a lot of southern states...
You think everyone in New Hampshire is dying?
I really ask that I interrupt here and point out that it isn't because people aren't getting the shot. It's because there are people, specifically government and their agents, who are saying in these different states, you are not allowed to operate unless people get the shot. It is not people not getting the shot. It is the government saying, no, you are not allowed to operate.
I'm not even going to bother to rebut that.
So if you think that COVID has been really dangerous in New Hampshire for the last 2 years and it's been ravaging us for 2 years, we'd all be dead by now. But none of us are. And nobody I know is dead or even got it.
We know how many dead people we have.
In New Hampshire, it's been very few. And I think they've all been over 80 ANSIC.
And there's many reasons for that, largely because Massachusetts has taken it very seriously. And Boston was wearing masks. We had a buffer zone from Massachusetts, and we've benefited, as we've benefited from many things in New Hampshire. The New Hampshire way, good, all well and good, but there's a lot of reasons for that. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of variables in all of the...
Yeah, I know, but the virus is in New Hampshire. No one denies that it's in the communities in New Hampshire, and
I know.
If it were dangerous and spreading, it would have killed us all by now.
All right, I think we're getting a little far afield here of the original intention. We got... lady down there. Go ahead, please. Renee.
I wanted to ask a question. I thought that was a well-rounded argument against it, by the way. I also wrote a list of things that I'm concerned about, but I wanted to know, what is the difference between seceding from the District of Columbia and seceding from the USA Union, in your opinion? What can you explain that portion of your speech?
Autonomous, same thing. We'd be leaving the Union, meaning we'd no longer be controlled by DC.
Was that a question for Chaz?
I want to know what he thinks.
Let me tell you, framing it. The way you guys frame it is like, even Dave said, oh, and who's going to defend staying with DC? Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about leaving the United States of America, not DC. You had to load the question. I mean, that's manipulating the question to make, oh, Chaz is, oh, he's just all DC. Yeah, him. Oh, boy. And those collectors. That's because your arguments are weak. That's why you resort to that. It's a tactic.
I don't think anyone's confused about the question, saying that we're going to leave the Union and not be controlled by DC, or saying we're leaving DC. I think it's all synonymous.
I mean, nobody in your group is, but
everyone knows DC is the capital of the country. Otherwise, people wouldn't have enough intelligence to even hear us.
I'm an American citizen. I belong to the United States of America.
Yep, and you're a smart one, and you know D.C. is the capital.
It's the capital of an idea that goes nationwide. I mean, I understand your opinion, and I respect it. You have your opinion, but I'm not here to defend D.C. I'm here to say I don't want New Hampshire, by definition, to secede from the United States of America.
So how bad does the United States have to get before you'd support it? If the United States executes everyone who touches cannabis, would you support leaving the Union?
If what?
pass a law executing with a gunshot to the head immediately anyone who touches cannabis, would you support leaving that party and becoming independent if the U.S. passes that law?
That's I could come up with a lot of irrelevant correct questions.
It's not irrelevant. We thought a year ago it was far-fetched to say that we'd have a nationwide vaccine mandate or mask mandates or going to Afghanistan or wasting $8 trillion or losing $5 trillion or supporting the Taliban. These are all far-fetched until they happen. So what's the line of the sand? How bad does it have to get?
Let me put it this way. When I did my statement, I did it very personally. So we wouldn't go off into the goddamn weeds. So I could say, here is my life. And a lot of people live my life in New Hampshire are in the same situation as me. This is real. Look, I built this. This is one of the I built this thing with my own hands and a hammer. This is my life. You can get into all the theory, and that's what ideologues like to do. They get in the theory, and get lost in the weeds. You know, I'm not going to do it.
Chaz, I got a question for you. And it's sort of basically what you were just asked, but maybe to reterm it. What is it, if anything, that the federal government could do that would make you want to support independence from them? Is there anything?
Yeah, there's many things.
Can you give us a couple? One or two?
If we got taken over by a Hitler, if there were a power vacuum, and if we were taken over by the equivalent of Hitler, I would be bearing arms and I'm willing to kill. So
I'm not asking about killing anybody. We're talking about a peaceful secession, a peaceful independence. Is
well,
there anything
after that? What I'm saying is there's a danger when you want to gut government and gut civilization, there is a danger of a Taliban coming in. Now we have plutocracy. Yeah, plutocracy is running things. That's a much better. That's very tyrannical in many ways.
Who's gutting civilization? Sorry to cut you off. Who's gutting civilization? We're empowering and strengthening civilization. I have my community, my great neighbors all around here. We would still exist, and we would be better than ever without DC politicians abusing us and stealing half our money.
They drop bombs on innocent people. That's not civilized. They're evil.
I think if you read my statement, and I got a correct some spelling, but I'll give it to you so that we can reference that. I started at 18. I became very political because a friend of mine had already stepped on a landmine in Vietnam. I had a deferment. I don't know if you guys know what was going on then, but there was a deferment. If you went to college, which was totally unconstitutional, said, oh, nice white kids going to college. They're too important to send over there. They didn't draft us. I left. And that made me face the draft. I did that of my own volition at 18, going, if you're going to draft me, I will leave. I will go to Canada, and I had friends that did, or Sweden. So there's an example of where I was willing. I was going, I'm gone. I wasn't going to stand here and fight. It was overwhelming. The nationalism, the right-wing politics, the red baiting. But that was an example of in my own life where I went, no, I'm not going to do it. And I fought it. Luckily, I did okay.
Good on you. I'd have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chaz.
We have that in common. And another thing, I'm running on Red Bull and no sleep, and I'm really whipped. So if I look a little angry, I'm really, I can be a little tough, I know. So, it's done in a good spirit.
Well, thanks for taking the time to sit with us. I know you said you had to get to work.
That's what I like, Dave. I don't agree with Dave, but I met him years ago, and I went, he's a happy warrior. You know, he's got his ideas. We don't agree, but he out of the clear blue, and every once in a while, I wonder what Dave Ridley's doing. I'm more chill than you may think.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
I have a quick question for the gentleman. You said that there was at least one circumstance in which you would be willing to support secession or independence, which would be if there was a Hitler-type character that took over America. I understand that many left-leaning people believe that Trump was that, or he was very close. When Trump was president, and if Trump becomes president again, would you support secession?
Well, I didn't when he was president. He's an authoritarian. He abuses the Constitution. He's got people brainwashed, but he wasn't out killing 6 million Jews. And he didn't invade Poland. My father fought in World War II. My grandfather fought in World War I. My father got drafted in World War II and spent 4 years overseas, D-Day included, and all the way to Germany because of Hitler. And that was a situation that I was trying to say before. When you don't have any referees, or you don't have some sort of pretty strong centralized government, you're opening the door to a dictatorship, to all sorts of things, especially during social upheaval, when people are so worked up that they go, I want to just secede from my country. And that's what happened in Germany. And there were a lot of, the inflation, you name it, and we really put our thumb on Germany after the First World War. You get that situation, and we're in one now where people are very nationalistic, and they were under Trump. They'll look the other way. And I've seen a lot of looking the other way, and that bothers me deeply. But I'm a fighter. I'm not leaving. And how do you secede? Go, okay, the whole United States is going to secede from what, Trump? No, you go to the polls. I've been involved with a lot of elections successfully, and you go to the polls. That's the system we have. That's what democracy is. I still believe in it. It's being eroded by the right wing. It's being eroded by voting rights. We know that. And so I fight. That's what I do. I'm a fighter.
All right. Well, good luck, Chaz. Thank you for joining us tonight. Yeah. I think we need to get back to our normal.
Yeah, thanks. I know it's more time than you'd probably anticipated, but I will. What, want me to send the text to Dave?
Go for it.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. That went about as well as I think it could have been expected.
Yeah. Do we have any other people from the left who wanted to address us, or people who oppose? Oh, you're another one. Okay. Go for it.
I wouldn't say I like oppose, but in fact, I joined the Free State Project because I kind of figured out that it was a secession movement, and I did want New Hampshire to secede from the Union. But here, so these are just off the top of my head, when Dave messaged me and said, see, Dave brought in two sources of contention for you guys. I'm sorry. But I thought, by the way, Chaz brought up very important issues that a lot of the people of New Hampshire are going to feel this sentiment. So anyways, I'm sorry I'm so scatterbrained. I wasn't expecting someone to come in so articulate and say some of the concerns so reasonably. But mine are a little different, probably would be considered more of the conspiracy theory end of things. But I'm going to read what I wrote, and this is just literally off the top of my head, my main concerns. It was easier to consider, for me, New Hampshire secession when it was just New Hampshire seceding and possibly Texas directly after us. But now it seems like it's not even just New Hampshire, but I would like to see New Hampshire be the first to put in like real serious legislation for it. I think you have a House and Senate that would probably agree to it, but Sununu wouldn't. But still, it was easier to consider, and I haven't wrapped my head around why, if it's just New Hampshire and just Texas, just them seceding from the Union seems great. But now I think a lot of states are going to be putting in legislation to secede. And that's something to consider, that then a lot of states start wanting to secede from the Union. And that brings me to the what would probably be considered the conspiracy theory aspect. This all seems very orchestrated towards chaos. And actually, I hear secession more in mainstream news of all sorts, print, television. I don't really watch anything on mainstream unless I'm going specifically for a digging expedition to see what words I recognize patterns. And so like, I'll be listening to see what words are being repeated. I feel like the United Nations might want the United States to split up, because then it makes it easy to take over each portion. Like if California and Oregon and that West Coast get, they'll just start doing like they did in Australia, which is to move in a lot of Chinese people and to buy up the businesses, which they did do, which is why everyone keeps saying, oh, it's because they have no gun laws. No, it's because China took over a lot of Australia. I know Chinese people living in Australia, and it's a concern. The other thing is, and it's the last thing really, if New Hampshire works towards seceding, I think working in conjunction with Texas, leaving, this is in terms of the United Nations thing, the states that are going to secede, maybe if they all teamed up on their own separate union. Sort of like what Chaz brought up about leaving the District of Columbia in comparison to the United States of America, maybe even people like Chaz would be interested in staying in a union of states. And him literally saying that is like literally made me think this too, is like maybe it would be helpful to not feel alone, like just little tiny New Hampshire. Like what if working in conjunction with other states, they could form a new union that is just against totalitarian government and all of the corruption. And that's it. That's all I have to say.
If I could jump in. Yeah. I think your point about other states being interested in secession is probably in our favor, and the media coverage, because it is more on the mind of the ordinary person. It's possibly more acceptable of an idea to talk about seriously. And when it comes to the concerns that Chaz brought up, in the worst case scenario where the United States would not want to treat New Hampshire as it does most other countries in the world, we would have potential allies in these other states that are seceding to have more leverage in negotiations with the remaining United States. I would be very wary of creating a new union. If you see what's been going on with the EU, I'm from Europe. It's definitely encroaching on the nations that are a part of it. The European courts have overruled some of Ireland's courts. There have been referendums that have been held multiple times until there was a favorable result in favor of the European Union. Just shenanigans like that. And of course, you had Brexit recently. So at least a slim majority of British people think they're better off not being in that particular union. There's always the opportunity to negotiate a free trade or a free travel area, or just negotiate individually with these states that otherwise secede. That's one of the major advantages of seceding, is that you have a chance to renegotiate all of these agreements with both states that remain in the United States and international countries.
Good point.
All right. Well, this is a well-attended meeting, so it looks like the word's gotten out. I saw, by the way, that Alu had posted on Liberty Block the breaking news, and the Free State Project Twitter account picked that up. As of the last time I looked, which was a couple hours ago, it had over 600 retweets on it, so it's definitely catching some fire out there. I saw that there was already some website that is on Google News that is sort of using Liberty Block's info And they claim to have interviewed you, Mike. So that's I don't know if it's true or not, but if they did, that's good. The word is definitely spreading about this. So I think we've got a good start here. Mike, would you mind speaking as to the next step in this process? I know that you've told us before, but if you could just refresh our recollection on the things been submitted via email. They get back to you, what was it, November thereabouts with the official write-up?
Right, so there is no set date. I did send it in yesterday. I received a reply this morning acknowledging that it was received and it's being worked on.
Okay.
And because they may have somewhere in the order of 1,000 legislative service requests, those all kind of come trickling out much later, obviously, putting together all of that legislation, all the bills, is a pretty substantial task. So I would say probably not sooner than a month, but maybe more like 2 months, perhaps even into December. Mm, I don't okay. know exactly. I don't know if they have a deadline for putting it out. I would assume before, certainly January.
Yeah.
But the process is that they will put together a draft based on the language I sent. And when I get that draft, if there are any changes needed, I can request changes. And when I get the draft, I believe we'll have a 10-day window in order to get revisions made. And at the end of those 10 days, all of the co-sponsors will have to be signed off on the final version. Mm-hmm. And then it will be sent to the speaker and put in the queue for a committee assignment and go to a committee.
Do they assign the bill number, the CACR 123 or whatever it'll be?
That would come... after, I believe that's, it'll be an LSR number until it's approved, and then somewhere in the process, as it's going to the speaker's office, it will get a CACR number.
Got it. Okay, fantastic. Anybody got some any interesting developments or news that that they want to share from the last week?
So I'll add a little something. I'd just like to say that when we look at this constitutional amendment, it is based on the New Hampshire Constitution, Part First, Article 7, which states that the U.S. government, the United States, only get the powers that are expressly delegated to them. And if you look at the U.S. Constitution, which is dated 1787, as opposed to our Constitution, which is 1784, the U.S. Constitution has a very, very limited set of delegated authorities. And some of those, when you get into the Commerce Clause, are anything but specific. And, of course, the federal U.S. Supreme Court has decided that they are the deciders, which is contrary to all of the founding fathers' discussion. Those decisions need to be made ultimately by the states. And I think that's probably the grand weakness of the U.S. Constitution, is that these sort of any of these decisions as to the powers of the federal government don't belong in the hands of the federal government. Of course, they're going to say, yes, we have all the powers. That's absurd. The entities that created the federal government are the states. The states are sovereign. And if there are questions as to the authority for the U.S. Supreme Court or the U.S. federal government, that those questions need to be settled by the states, not by a Supreme Court. So now that we're talking about packing the Supreme Court once again, This is an issue that really should be moved back to the states, whether we are continue to be with the United States of America or an independent nation. If we are independent, we won't have a say in what they decide. But this is one of the really serious deficiencies in the U.S. Constitution.
Yep, no doubt. And so, Dave Ridley, you know, are your thoughts on bringing in the opposition into these meetings? Should we go ahead and separate that out into a different meeting? That way, people that want to, you know, do things to move forward can, you know, not be distracted by that in the future. I thought it was an interesting experiment. He says he doesn't know. He's in the chat right now. Any other opinions on what happened in the first half hour today?
I think it was a very valuable. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Are you mad? I thought he was fair and honest, Chaz, and bringing up things that I think the average New Hampshire person would be concerned about, like Social Security and Medicare, which I'm sure everyone, even Boston, thought about how it could be addressed.
No, I agree with you, Renee. It was interesting. We're going to hear those sorts of things from people, and so to get a taste of what we're likely going to hear more often, I don't disagree that it was a worthwhile experiment. I'm just saying that I don't know if it belongs in, you know, productive meetings as far as moving this ball forward from here out. That's just my thoughts on the matter. I'm happy to hear from anybody else. So we could keep doing it.
Well, I think it was
separately.
I think it was valuable in that, as Renee pointed out, it showed us a lot of pushback that any sort of secession movement is going to receive.
Sure.
This is actually something that the people who want to secede in Texas have received. This particular question about Social Security and Medicare has been one of the main questions that they have received. And so I think it's very sort of it was a very good example of what your maybe what your average person in New Hampshire, their concern is going to be in regards to any sort of secession. So to be able to have sort of clear answers for them about how this operates with other countries currently kind of helps them think about how, if New Hampshire was its own country, how it would relate to the greater United States.
Yeah, no doubt that there's value in it. The question is, should it be during, you know, these meetings specifically? Because there's a lot of days in the week, and there's no reason why we couldn't have what people are calling a town hall variant of this particular thing on, you know, Wednesday or Thursday or something like that, and keep them separate. Or as some people are suggesting in the chat right now, divide up the meeting to productive stuff first and then more debate kind of discussion stuff second. So all of those are options.
I agree we should separate them, or at least do the productive stuff first.
Yeah, I think separating it makes more sense because then you don't keep people waiting. You know, Chaz had to go to work. We wouldn't want to tell him, okay, well, you know, after we're done with our productive meeting, which could go for 15 minutes, it could go for a half an hour. I don't think we want to stick to a specified time frame on that. But I think the town meeting thing should continue, and maybe Dave can head those up.
That sounds like a great idea.
Sorry, there was somebody else talking besides Mo.
In other news, I got commitments, decent commitments from two other state reps, which makes a total of four, to be co-sponsors.
That's great news. I guess we don't have to publicize that list until, you know, whenever the bill comes back. So it's good to know that people are interested in jumping on. Let's see. So Liberty Block article's getting out there. If people haven't shared it out, definitely, you know, grab a copy of that and shoot it out on your favorite social media. It's getting a lot of shares from the Free State Project. So it's, I don't know how these algorithms work on Twitter and all that, but obviously the more people that share a particular link, I think the better it is for it being, spread. So good job.
Yeah, I appreciate all the tears. Our site got blown up this morning, actually, by all the traffic.
Oh, wow.
It was unprecedented traffic in such a short time. And the link, everyone said it was down for a while, but I already yelled at my chief technology officer, which happens to be my wife, Kate. I said we need to upgrade the server ASAP.
Okay, we have to handle
more. She handles servers a lot at work, so she knows about it more than I do. So we're going to upgrade that. Whenever we're sharing on Twitter and Facebook, can we all please hashtag NH exit and maybe hashtag secession, hashtag NH politics as well?
I have a comment that I'd like to add. This is Shayna.
Hey, Shayna.
I was at the Concord State House earlier today for the press conference about resisting the decreed vax mandates. And I spoke with quite a number of the reps that were outside. And I would say that almost all of them reacted positively to my, I gave them a piece of the flyer for the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. I mentioned New Hampshire exit. Almost all of them knew about Mike's bill, and nobody ran away screaming. So I thought that was pretty good.
I was going to ask if you had the New Hampshire Independence flyers. So do you need more of those? Because if so, I've got several thousand.
Yeah, we're running low. We are running low. I gave out a few hundred today at the rally, and I got really good responses from almost everyone.
Great. Are there going to be more of these rallies? Are there going to be subsequent rallies?
Saturday, there's a big one I'm going to go to, and there's one Friday. There's one in a week or two. Every week or two, there's a big protest.
What time Saturday? I might be able to get permission from my federal handler.
10 to 6 in Nashua, Merrimack.
Oh, where's it going to be?
At Greeley Park in Nashua.
Saturday.
It's Greeley Park. And yes, I need literature. That was one of the things I wanted to bring up in this meeting was, what is the public face that we want to have on NH exit? And what's the best stuff for me to be passing around? What I have right now is the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence flyers. I have a few of those. Those are going to be gone in a couple of days because I've been standing with the nurses, and our fearless leader, Therese Grinnell, was out there talking to the crowd today. I think she's going to get a lot more people. So what I did today was I gave them a flyer and I said, New Hampshire exit. But there's really no connection that I can see online between the two.
Yeah, I mean, there's no official connection. NHExit.us definitely links to the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. So if you click on, if you're at NHExit.us and you click on Learn, that takes you over to the Frequently Asked Questions section on the Foundation. Actually, I've expanded the menu quite a bit. I put links to Alu's articles up there. So Learn actually has the 12 benefits of New Hampshire independence by Alu and the 70 plus reasons to divorce DC. It's got the Foundation's frequently asked questions. I don't know if we're going to, hopefully we'll get Amanda back in here from the Foundation. She hasn't been on in a few weeks. Apparently she's taking over as president there. So I like their literature. I mean, they've done a good job with that, and it's simple. It keeps it simple, and it's short, and it's easy to hand to somebody. It's not overwhelming. The card is not
that's
a bunch
great.
Of... Yeah, so what I'd like to do is I'll talk to my probation guy and see if I can get down to Nashua on Saturday, and if so, I'll bring a big box of flyers down with me. And we can rendezvous.
Now, the flyers you're talking about, is that the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence flyer?
Yeah, as far as I know, that's the only flyer that exists at this time for New Hampshire
Independence. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
I like the, I'm looking at the website that you've been working on. My impression, when I looked at it earlier, before the changes, or before I knew about the changes, is that I really expected to see like Alu's divorce article, why to do it, and the state reps, that's news. The meetings, the recordings of the meetings, I don't think are likely to be of as much interest to the new recruits to the idea of New Hampshire exit.
Yeah, those were put up there just because site needed something on it. Aria was supposed to be doing some design with the site, and her designer hasn't been particularly responsive. So I just wanted to have something on the site until I got a chance to add some more content to it. And that's why I've added the 70 reasons to divorce DC, 12 benefits to independence. There's a petition now, which is kind of buggy. I've been looking into other options for petitions. The petition is currently working, but there's a window full of garbage that comes up whenever you hit the submit button, and I don't know why that is. I've tried different settings to see if I can make it go away, and so far I haven't been able to do that. Unfortunately, there's no other really useful plugins for petitions on WordPress, which would mean that we would have to use a third party. So the nice thing about this petition, even though it is a little buggy, is that it does keep everything in-house, so there's no one that can pull the plug on the petition, whereas if we were to go with, say, change.org or whatever the other ones are out there, they could get a hair up their butt and say, oh, well, this is illegal petition. So, because all of these petitions say you can't petition for something that's illegal. And so then they could just, pull us and delete a database or whatever. Go ahead, Oliver.
Can someone order more of those long cards like ASAP? I assume they take a while to come because we're running out unless Ian or Carla has more.
I literally have thousands of them. I worked with the foundation last year because I'd run out after 5 years or whatever of flyering with them, and we took a couple of the links off. We didn't make any significant changes to the text, but there's their YouTube channel hadn't been updated in like half a decade, so I said let's just pull the link off the card. And so there was one or two links that were clearly out of date, but otherwise everything else is the same. So I did a reprint of 5,000 of them. So yeah, I can easily hand you a box of 1,000 or two or whatever with no problem.
Thank you.
That's great.
So let's stay in touch. And if I see you Saturday, I'll try to get them. Otherwise, some other way.
Yeah. So it was 10, just to confirm, it's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Greeley Park. And that is in Nashua, correct?
I think so.
Saturday. Yeah. Okay. And who's organizing? Who's behind this? Is this the New Hampshire Freedom? Or
worldwide demonstration type deal?
Oh,
or
it's
defiance?
That. Right. Okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know what I think? I think it's the
Frank. You know, Frank.
Well, it's on the New Hampshire Patriot Hub calendar, and I'm going to look at it while we're talking about it and see.
Ian, I think it's Footloose.
Who they say is responsible for?
Yeah, Footloose. Yep. Yeah. He called Free Talk Live about it last week and mentioned it. Yeah. It's like worldwide demonstration. It's a coordinated. Decentralized thing that's happening in a bunch of cities, from what I understand. So that's good.
Yes. So I have one more comment that I wanted to make about the flyers. Mm-hmm. Because it's wonderful that we have so many, and I'm going to find out how I can get my hands on more. There are a couple of very nice spots on the flyer that are eager to accept something like a little sticker. We had a sticker that said New Hampshire Exit. Whichever one we want to direct people to. Could we stick that on those?
Yeah, that's a possibility. You'd have to figure out how to print those stickers. I don't know if you can do a custom one with some sticker company or if you just get laser printer stickers and do it that way. There's definitely different options for that.
Oh, Ian, if someone is going to edit the cards, I know you said you already have some. If we're going to edit it, it's worth considering putting a little QR code that goes right to the site. Some kids nowadays would prefer a QR code than typing in a link. So that's something to think about.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't suggesting editing it. I was just suggesting adding a sticker, but the QR code is a perfect idea.
Yeah, those are all things we can look at as we start running down on the 5,000 or however many it is that I currently have, which may go faster than it might go faster than we expect. So, who knows?
Yeah, well, they're going really fast out of my hands. I was selective today because I didn't have very many.
Right. All right. Cool.
So let me throw in, while we have a pause, another little bit. There's a lot of discussion going around about the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, which is, kind of ancient history, but worth taking a look at. I believe Montana has one in the works, or perhaps have passed it. I don't know what the status is of it. But essentially, these are the documents that, really spell out what the federal government should be doing and should not be doing. And there's a possibility that a resolution of that type may be introduced this week also. And I'm not sure if anyone in particular is leading that charge, but it certainly goes very well with what we are doing. And as long as we're focusing on, the constitutional issues, that's my real key point. Our New Hampshire Constitution predates the federal government's constitution, and the federal government is not in compliance with the powers that it has been given. So I think we need to look at the history, and if you want to see history, the 10th Amendment Center puts out all kinds of material. Michael Bolden does a video podcast, I think 3 days a week, and he puts out some really great stuff, a lot of good information, well worth looking at.
Matt and Mike, are you guys working on any nullification bills?
One more time?
Anybody working on nullification bills to nullify federal laws?
I am not aware of any in particular. I think the resolution, the Kentucky and Virginia resolution, is somewhat of a nullification act in itself.
Dave says in the chat that Dan Itza submitted a Kentucky-type resolution previously and got a lot of attention the first time, not so much the second. But right on.
Matt, do you have any thoughts?
No, I haven't submitted any nullification bills. If you have something, come on, we can talk about it.
Lost some of your packets there. You said you hadn't submitted any nullification bills, and then something, talk about it. Missed the part of that.
Yeah, this connection's not stable. I said, if you want to email me about it, we can talk about it if you have something.
Gotcha. So, Dave Ridley, your thoughts on, do you want to do a separate town hall? And in which case, do you want to figure out what a good time and date or day of the week would be to do something like that? And then we'll keep this meeting time in place, since people seem to be in the habit of being here for organizational stuff. I realize you're in the chat exclusively.
Yeah, there. He's got no mic.
He says 5:30 p.m. probably. Do you want to do it on a Saturday? Okay, he says Friday. Okay, cool. Yeah, and feel free to use this room. I mean, the room's here, and anytime anybody wants to use it, you just got to pull it up. Of course, just keep in mind there is no real there's no moderation feature on Jitsi. So Jitsi is sort of this open source meeting platform. So if you want a private meeting, you have to keep the URL private to only the people that you want to attend it. If you put, the more it starts getting out there, the more likely you're going to have somebody showing up and doing something that people don't want to see or whatever. So just keep that in mind. The moderating capabilities of Jitsi are near to zero, but otherwise it's a pretty useful platform. Alu, I think you were wanting to say something.
Yeah, now that we've done the big part, which is submitting the legislation, I don't know if we need to meet every week to talk about important stuff. We can do 1 week for our stuff, and then the next week, the next Tuesday, allow others to come in and kick our asses. Then the next week, we can just do us. So we can do every other week, even, instead of doing 2 a week. I'm already working like 168 hours a week. I have zero time. I'm driving to a meeting now. I'm already late for everything. Once a week, Tuesday, I could usually make Tuesday evenings. So keeping it Tuesday evening every week and switching off weeks, that could be good.
That's not a terrible idea. Ridley, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
He says there's a problem. At the same time, it's not a terrible idea to keep just to keep whatever momentum going on a weekly basis, even if all we have is a 15-minute meeting, you know, next week. If there's not much to say, there's not much to say. We kept the meeting short last week when the state reps were absent. There just wasn't much to talk about. You know? So I don't know. I think we could go either direction, and it would work fine.
I'd like to say something.
Yeah, please.
This is Shayna. There's a lot going on right now in the world. We have our little movement here that we were going to do, and then all of a sudden, the worldwide demonstrations and all these people that never thought they were liberty fighters are riled up, and rightly so. I think there's a lot of momentum, and it would be really good to try to make as much use of that as we can. So
agreed.
I think the weekly is a good idea for the organizing part, but also for the town hall, but not together.
Well, Ridley, if you want to change the URL, you can. I mean, Jitsi makes it easy. You just go to their site, you pick the URL, or you can just type in whatever channel name you want on the existing URL. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Any channel name you put in there, it's automatically where people go. So it's easy to make another one if that's what you want to do. And I agree with Shayna that, you know, we didn't see this coming, but we didn't need to, because we knew that the federal government was always going to do something terrible and tyrannical. It doesn't matter who's in charge. So, you know, an independence bill always seems really timely because there's always something. But this one in particular, with this Joe Biden mandate last week, it's really nice timing for us. So I totally agree, and we should definitely capitalize on this.
Mike, the way I see it, realistically, our first big battle will be to just get a roll call vote, so we know, you know, at least that has a chance, so we know who's on our side. But I know that there are one or two different parliamentary tricks leadership can use to retain or table or IS or whatever like that. Could you speak to that and what we can do to help you to make sure it doesn't get killed before it even gets to the House floor, like get stuck in a committee if the speaker kill it?
Was that for me, Alu?
I think so.
Yeah.
So what will happen is the meat of the issue is going to happen at the committee hearing for the bill. And if that is very well attended, it will be a little bit hard to ignore. If it is not attended, it'll go to the floor with probably an ITL motion. And if they don't want to discuss it, it will get a table motion, in which case there is only time for a PI against the table motion. So
what's a PI? I'm sorry.
Using lingo here. Parliamentary inquiry. Before a question is called, you are allowed to inquire of the chair how one should vote, and essentially you get to make 5 or 6 points in the form of a question and try and get your point across that way.
Like, there are ways they can kill it before it leaves the committee, correct? They can retain and they can do something else. How do we stop that?
No. It as long as no one convinces me to withdraw it, it will go to a committee hearing.
But can't the committee then table the bill and then essentially take it off the continuing forward motion?
No. In the first year, they can retain a bill, which keeps it from going to the floor. But in the second year, it has to go to the floor for a vote. And in fact, even a retained bill still has to go back, and we'll hear all of those. We've got a lot of retained bills, and most of them are going to get killed. They'll end up on the consent calendar.
So, Mike, what's the worst-case scenario? They do ITL consent calendar or table or interim study consent calendar, and then we have to fight it off the calendar, pull it off, and try to get a roll call vote in the House?
Right. So if the committee does not want to pass this, if it gets a recommendation of ITL, it only takes one vote to keep it from the consent calendar. It can get pulled off of the consent calendar by any representative. So at the very least, it will go to the floor with some sort of recommendation. The worst case would be a table motion, in which case you get, a couple of minutes to make a couple of points and then get the vote.
To clarify, the committee only puts it on consent calendar if the committee's unanimous?
So the committee can put pretty much anything on the consent calendar if nobody objects to it being on the consent calendar. It only takes one person to object to it going on the consent calendar in order to keep that.
So we need at least one person on the committee to stand up and not let it get on consent. Do we know which committee it's going to be in, and do we know who that person might be?
It stands a fair chance of going to the Judiciary Committee. And I am a member of that committee, at least for the moment.
Now, isn't the worst case, Mike, that they could just butcher the language? Couldn't they just go in and say, all right, well, this is now no longer a independence bill. It's a bill to say we love the federal government. I mean, they could do anything to this, right?
Once it is submitted to the committee, it is the committee's bill. Yes. Yeah. And, a lot of this depends on how much support it gets by the people in the committee hearing. Mm-hmm. If there are a lot of people there and it has a lot of support, it's not going to get messed with so much. But, if it goes to the committee and Mike Sylvia is sitting there, presents it, and there's nobody else to say boo about it, it's dead. Legislators in the past who have put forward bills that were very much old school constitutional type issues, mm-hmm. and no one they were disregarded up. For the most part.
Yeah, we need to have enough people to where it's so packed that they have to go to that bigger room. We got to open up the big room and move everything over there. So we have to figure out, to get commitments from people to go to this thing, and that way the reps.
I will
know.
Be there, and yeah. I will be testifying, and hopefully a lot of people will. Yeah. Like, how soon in advance before the committee hearing will we know the exact time of day?
I suppose the worst case, the shortest notice would be, if they put it in the committee, right up front in January. So it might be only a couple of weeks notice. It will be usually you at least have a couple of weeks. And after that, I would say it's unlikely that you'll get a surprise next day hearing on it. That would be. That would be fairly underhanded, but you never know what to expect. Expect the worst. So
well, I think we're going to be keeping our eyes on things, and I think by that time we should have a fairly large email list if this petition thing works out. So all of us are very, very interested in this, so we've got our contacts that I'm sure we can rile up to go to this thing. I know it's not hard to get a group from Keene to carpool out, so I think we could easily fill the bigger room on this one. That's my expectation. I think this is going to be big. I mean, already we're seeing tremendous levels of interest from people on social media, and this thing just kicked off. So I think it's been a good meeting. Anybody else want to throw something in? Or we're at this over an hour at this point. Mike and Matt, I sent you an email. If you could, when you get a chance, not a rush, shoot me a comment back. I'm going to write up a piece for Free Keene about this. Alu beat me to the punch, and I appreciate it, but I'm going to put one out there as well, and maybe I'll send a press release out as well. I've got an email list I've worked on for the last most of a decade. It's only got like 50 people on it, but they're all opt-ins, so they're all reporters from, Union Leader, Keene Sentinel, basically AP, Boston area stuff. So we'll put that out to the the news people and let them run with whatever they want. So that might take us up to another level, hopefully.
So that sounds great, Ian.
Yeah, when you get a chance, shoot me a reply. Just asking for a comment for the story.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Matt and Mike, if you guys have like a quote you want me to put in my article, I can always update the article with a quote for you guys.
I can forward what, if you want, I'll just forward to you, Alu, what they send me. I mean, obviously, we could pick any amount of things that you've said over the last several meetings, but just a specific question to you. So then I look forward to hearing from you on that. Thank you, everybody. Anybody else got something to say? I'm going to otherwise stop the recording and stop the stream. And let's do this again next Tuesday, 5:30. And then Ridley, I think, is going to set up his town hall for either a Friday or Saturday. So Ridley, just email us and or post on the forum when you have that thing down, because I'm sure some of us will still be interested in attending that as well. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Take care.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.